Well, we've talked about the future of flu shots. Get them at Walmart. What about the future of healthcare and the internet? Our special guest is an expert on the future. He's an internet visionary, John Patrick, president of Attitude LLC. When we return on Free for All Friday.
I like airplanes, motorcycles.
Yeah, okay.
Healthcare and the internet.
And the internet. So a guy that's into combustion engines and technology. All right. We're going to find out. You're going to be the keynote speaker at a seminar coming up here, a free luncheon seminar at Florida Hospital Flagler, The Future of the Internet and Healthcare. And just the name of that sparks all kinds of questions to me. So kind of give us a, Bill, if you want to give us a little overview, and then we'll kind of drill down here with John.
Well, I can give you a reason that we're having John talk. I can't really give an overview of what he's going to say because I've heard him speak and it's great stuff. But when I heard him the first time up at Hammock Dunes, I thought, you know, that would be perfect for what we call our community open forum series. We have series of speakers that come in, different speakers and different topics. And this time it's going to be internet and healthcare. And John consented to do this when he's on break from his cold home up north, and we're really glad that he's willing to do it for us. And by the way, he's going to be doing this also at Hammock Dunes on the 22nd. So there are two opportunities, but not for the public. I think Hammock Dunes is just for members. But we are offering this opportunity to come and learn some really amazing stuff on the 17th.
All right, well, here's what I'm picturing, and I may be way off track. Okay, first of all, the internet and healthcare. Everybody's going to the internet now, looking up their symptoms and self-diagnosing what's going on. And, you know, and I'm picturing it with, Skype that, you know, now I no longer have to go to the doctor's office. I can just put the camera on this, oozing sore and I get it diagnosed by some doctor in, Canada or wherever. And it doesn't really matter where they are. And, you know, it's, well, you're shaking your head. Yeah. I mean, is this where we're going?
Well, that's part of it. I would say that's a small part of it. The big picture is that healthcare is changing very rapidly, tremendous change in front of us. And expectations of people are rising. They want to see coordination between the various providers that take care of them. Whereas today, they don't see that coordination. They go to one doctor, sends them to another doctor. You go to the specialist, and the specialist says, how can I help you? And you feel like saying, you don't know why I'm here? You don't know the information that my primary care physician knows? And so the internet is, of course, changing rapidly, also getting less expensive, easier to use everywhere, wireless, and people now find that a part of their everyday life. So why not combine the two and be able to enhance our healthcare by making information flow more freely between the various people that take care of us?
Okay. You know, and the thing also is a big concern. There's fewer and fewer people that want to be a doctor because, you know, the old thing was doctors are rich. And I know a lot of doctors that consider themselves far from being rich, and it's aggravating with insurance companies and threats of lawsuits and liability and everything. And so there's a projected big shortage of doctors. So is the internet a way where doctors can be more efficient with their patients? And
absolutely.
And in what way? Well, it's like 10 years from now, what do you see out there? How are we going to interact with healthcare systems?
Well, the trend is toward what's called accountable care, which is part of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. And this reform focuses on taking care of a population of people. So a hospital or a group of doctors may be responsible for a certain zip code or a certain group of, let's say, 150,000 people. And instead of being compensated for how many times they see them and how many prescriptions they write and how many x-rays they take and how many procedures they do, they're compensated on how healthy is that 150,000 people, because they're going to be reimbursed a fixed amount per person. So that to the degree that they can have the patients come in less often and have fewer procedures, it motivates them, but it's also better for the patient because they don't get the runaround anymore, and they have a more proactive degree of health care where doctors are calling them, saying, did you follow up as I recommended? How are you feeling today? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? So this coordination of care reduces the cost, enables fewer physicians to take care of more people, and provides higher quality and more improved outcomes for people.
Well, that kind of turns everything upside down.
It does. It's going from a physician entitlement fee-for-service oriented system to one that's more of an accountability oriented fee-for-health approach.
So a doctor in the future would be well compensated for his culture of his brood of patients. Well, they may be identified by zip code or maybe even by age if he specializes in a certain age. So he might right. do, you might get a, every morning an email from your doctor saying, like, here's your diet today. This is what you should eat.
Absolutely.
I mean, and here's your exercise and then report back, and then it's graphed and followed, and so he's also your life coach in a way.
Exactly, and the internet provides the information now, so it's not at all uncommon for a patient to go to see a doctor and know more about what their situation is than the doctor does. Not that they should self-medicate or self-diagnose, but to have a higher degree of awareness of what things could be helpful.
Are you scared by this, Bill Toll?
No, I'm really encouraged by it. In fact, I had an episode not long ago where I had to go to a specialist, and he ordered a CAT scan, and then on my next visit, he pulled out his notepad and said, "Let's look at your results," because they were right there, came right across online, and he in very high resolution, he looked showed me the little. Happened to be a kidney stone, showed me the kidney stone. He said, here's where it is. This is where it's moving. And it was just really, really intriguing. The other part of that is at our little hospital here is so advanced technologically that I don't keep up with all the other hospitals, but it's fascinating to me that if you have an ambulance call, have a heart episode, and you get in the ambulance while you're on your way to the emergency room, all of that data is already transmitted to the emergency room, so they know before you even get there what your vitals are and how they're going to treat you when you arrive. So all of that's made possible by the internet.
How would because you're the internet guy here and you're the visionary on it. How would all this be? So would just say here, Florida Hospital Flagler. Would this be a friendly thing for the local hospital, or would it be a competitive thing?
No, it's really an integration of the healthcare and the internet. The internet becomes the communications vehicle for the hospital to be able to provide better service. A good example of that would be home healthcare. Today in Medicare, which is about $500 billion of expenditure, only about 3% of that goes to home healthcare. I would think it should be more like 30%. There are a lot of chronic conditions that require monitoring. Monitoring today can be done by a $100 unit. People are buying a little Fitbit that they put in their pocket that measures how many steps they take and how many stairs they climb, and then a website shows them, and they get emails encouraging them to take more steps and more exercise. Well, that same concept can apply directly to things a little more serious than just exercise, things like monitoring your heart, for example. A company called CardioNet has a pendant that goes around your neck, has three little wires that connect to your chest. It's a three-lead ECG that is continuously monitoring your heart, wirelessly transmitting that to a little device that looks like an iPhone that analyzes your heartbeats, sends the data to a center in Philadelphia over the internet, and if there's an abnormality in the way that heartbeat looks, the cardiologist gets a phone call and then is able to intervene with a medication change and prevent that patient from having to be readmitted to the hospital, which is a huge issue today in the chronic care of heart failure patients.
There's something else interesting that maybe, John, you could comment on. I was in our radiology department the other day, and it was fairly late in the day, and there were still staff there, and I said, are there any radiologists here? And they said, no. What happens if somebody comes in the middle of the night and they need a radiologist to look at their picture? Do you wake them up and say, no, we send it to somebody in Australia? Comment on that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the internet flattens the time zones. You know, it flattens the world for that matter. So at 2 a.m. in the morning, when local radiologists maybe would prefer not to be working anyway, it's 2 p.m. in Australia, and someone there is just as able to diagnose and read that x-ray from there.
Now, the doctors today that are listening, you know, to this and other conversations and here, you know, it's about enough to just scare them out of the business right now, because this is not the culture that they agreed to work in when they were going to school and to college, and maybe their father was a doctor and, you know, the family health care and family physician. I mean, the big complaint you hear now is that everybody's a specialist and nobody is a general, you know, doctor, a family doctor anymore. Are we going to, is that going to be a totally a thing of the past, your family doctor?
Well, that's a really interesting question. Actually, it's moving back that way into a concept called the patient-centered medical home. And the concept is that a primary care physician, what we used to call the family doctor, is now responsible for your health and coordinates among all the various specialists, including alternative medicine, including acupuncture and chiropractor services and, you know, various alternative medicine approaches. And that's all coordinated by one person who really cares about your health and who has an assistant who's reaching out to you and proactively helping you to become healthy.
And this would be the guy you were talking about earlier that would be on the healthiness of his culture as opposed to
sickness.
Yeah. All right. Is this good or bad, Bill Toll?
This is good stuff. This is good stuff. I built my first computer in 1984 from CompUSA components. Remember that? Sure. And I've just really been intrigued by the whole process, how it's evolving. And I just believe very firmly in everything John says about the future. It's going to be pretty much paperless. It's going to be all through connectivity. And it really is nice the way it's lifting the burden off of one or two people and spreading it out over a lot of people without a lot of effort. I mean, in terms of my health care.
You know, the shortage of physicians it's a matter of productivity. And you mentioned paper. Paper is not our friend. Paper is a place where things about our health get recorded and potentially lost and not shared effectively among the various providers of health. So the internet is really a very powerful ally for the physician, for the hospital, and for patients to get better care and fewer errors. You know, we can't lose sight of the fact that thousands of people die every year through medical errors. Those errors are mostly information related, information that should be at somebody's fingertips that's either not or it's there in error. Now with e-prescribing, for example, when a physician prescribes a medication for you, that prescription is checked automatically against your other prescriptions that you may be taking, even if they weren't scripted by the same doctor. And it compares it against your known allergies and makes sure that the dosage and the name of that prescription match. So, yeah.
Well, all this is going to be talked about at a community open forum. It's going to be Thursday, January 17th, 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And where can they call?
Call 386-586-4440 if you want more information or to RSVP.
All right, very good. We'll be talking about it more on the air here. Thank you very much. Welcome to town there, John Patrick.
Thanks very much.
All right, news is next. We are